Good morning. Glad to see all of you here this morning. For those of you visiting, we're glad you're here. We have as many visitors as we did last week. Had a house full of visitors. Glad to see them, but glad to have you with us. Talk about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Get right into it this morning. Talk about the Beatitudes and how different those Beatitudes are than what the culture of the first century expected or believed, and probably what you and I believe. And I want us to look at it against the historical backdrop and against really our own beliefs to see really what Jesus is saying is quite different. Countercultural might be the term that you would use for what Jesus is saying here in the Beatitudes. They're about hope, but they change kind of the way we look at life and the life of God's people here. I want to start with talking about what it means to be blessed. A couple of the newer translations have translated that happy. Happy are those. Maybe not the best translation, but I think it's important to know what blessed means, because happy is awfully subjective, isn't it? Happy is, I mean, what makes us happy? Well, it's different kind of for all of us. And some folks are just not going to be happy. I don't know how to explain it any other way. Almost against anything, it's hard to be happy. And then happiness seems to come and go, and we pursue it, and it almost seems at times to be elusive, and yet there are others who have almost nothing, who find themselves extremely happy. So it's not in possessions, it's in attitudes. But blessed really has, a greater meaning. And I think what Jesus is saying is those whom God cares for, those who God protects and oversees and provides for are these folks. That's what it means to be blessed, that God cares for you. God provides for you. God is interested in you and taking care of you, and not, it's hard not to use the word blesses you. That God gives us His blessings. God knows what we need and God knows what's best, and He begins to list groups of people whom God watches over and provides for, whom God blesses. But as we look at the list, are those attributes really what we expect from those who are blessed by God? I want to go back and remind us of an event in the story of in the life of Jesus. Mike, if you'll bring that up, and we'll just read those three verses, I believe, together. Because I think it's important for us to talk about this event in light of what Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes. As he went along talking about Jesus, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Now, the disciples are making an assumption that was common for the time. And this probably is not as common in our time, although would be among some groups of people more than others. But they knew that somebody had done wrong, and that's why this man was blind. Now, they're working off that assumption. He was blind, so sin is the reason for his blindness. So their only question to Jesus was this. Since he's been blind from his birth, was it his parents' sin that caused him to be blind, or something he did? And again, that opens a whole lot of theological, a can of a whole lot of theological worms, something he did that caused him to be blind. But the underlying principle is, we know somebody did wrong for him to be blind. Now, they just want to know who it was. Was it him or his parents who had done wrong? The thought for the people of the first century was this. If things were not going well for you, if there was sickness, disease, lack of prosperity, trouble, what was the cause of it? Somebody had done wrong, right? You were not blessed by God. You were not blessed by God because this thing had happened. Now, they might not have thought that God had completely left you, but at least it was a punishment because you had done wrong. Now, that is a little bit of an undercurrent in our culture. There is a guilt when things don't go well. Sometimes that's physically. I'm going to tell you where it probably rears its head more is when things go wrong in our lives from a relationship standpoint, maybe within our families, with our children or whatever. And what's the question that people often ask? Maybe you, but I get it really often is, what have I done wrong? Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? And some of that's not necessarily did I do something that was sinful, but where did I make a mistake? What did I not do that was right? What should I have done that would have changed this situation? You know, it's one of my pet peeves. I have several. But one of them is the prosperity gospel that we see preached. And I'm going to tell you, when you read the Beatitudes, it flies in the face of, if you come to Jesus, what? Everything gets better, right? If you have trouble today, come to Jesus, and what? Those troubles all get better, right? I've shared with you. When I listen to those, you know, your husband gets handsomer, your wife gets prettier, your paycheck gets bigger, your boss becomes a nice guy, the government improves, I don't know, the grass is greener, no weeds, I don't know. I mean, it's just, if we come to, and I'm going to tell you, Jesus in the Beatitudes, in this sermon, which we said, is an outline of, this is what Jesus preached to the people. Remember, we talked about Matthew is setting the thing that Jesus preached and taught, and here, sandwiching, here is the message that Jesus preached and taught. And he said, blessed are those, and Houston read that for us, and we'll start through those. And we're not going to spend a great, great deal of time on each one of them individually. But the thought is, blessed by God are people whose condition in life is not exactly what you would expect from people blessed by God. Luke will record them. Matthew will say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke just records, blessed are the poor. In our culture, or in the culture of the first century, you kind of look and say, what's somebody done wrong that they're poor? Either in spirit or physically. Probably what Jesus is saying is, blessed are those who economically and in spirit are impoverished, are poor. Blessed are those individuals who don't have a great deal of money yet, also are poor in spirit. Because what happens when we are poor in spirit? We become humble, right? Humble before God and find our dependence where? On God. Find our dependence on God. Now, we can become bitter, can't we? And are all poor people dependent on God? No, they're not. Can poor people be greedy? Yes, they can be. It is not reserved for only those who are economically well off. Poor people can be greedy. They can be tightwads. They can be selfish. But Jesus is saying, those who culture might look at and say, God certainly hasn't blessed them for whatever reason. We might know or might not know why. But Jesus said, blessed by God. Remember what we said? These are the folks that God has chosen to bless, to look after, and to care for. And so in God's caring for us does not always mean that we receive all the things that we want or think we need here, right? Now, will God provide us with what we need? David says, yes. David said he's never seen the righteous hungry or their children begging bread. But But does that make us rich or prosperous? Can we still be poor? Yes. What did Israel have to learn in the wilderness wandering? Did they go hungry? It's a really important question. Did they go hungry? No, they did not go hungry. Were their pantries full? No. 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 Every night except for Friday night, when you went to bed, how much food did you have? Zero. Zero. Because what happened if you kept the manna overnight? It spoiled, right? We get worms in it. It would spoil. So what were you dependent on every day? Every morning you were dependent on God providing manna. They were dependent on. They learned to be dependent upon God. Were they blessed by God? Yes. God provided for every need that they had. But they never had extra. I think about the widow in the times of the prophets, whose oil never ran out. Remember? Who always had meal and her oil never ran out. But she never had extra. I mean, all she needed, but she could never look and say, I got enough. You know, we can make it for a while. I sure enjoyed the rain of Friday night. Some of you don't like rain as well as I do, but a rain in July is my kind. We were able to put the window up. It was cool enough in July and hear the rain on the porch, dripping off on the porch. And it rained most of the night Friday night. I woke up several times, and I just lay there and listened to it. And boy, come morning, it really began to rain on us. But I'm always leery when I talk to folks who like the rain like I do. Ernie, they probably made the corn crop around here. I've heard that conversation several times, and we'll have grass on and on and on all the things. But what are we dependent on? Whether we be in agriculture or whatever, we're dependent on God. Because what can happen with one good hailstorm or rainstorm? That made corn crop could be laying flat on the ground. The spigot could cut off, and I'm telling you, at 95 degrees, in a couple of weeks, we'd be looking peaked. And in a month, we could be burnt up. Now, I'm not pessimistic. I still enjoy the rain, and I'm not one of those folks that, well, it cooled and rained today, but it's going to be hot and dry tomorrow. I'm good with what we had, and it could have been hot and dry today. But what I'm saying is, where we make a mistake is where we begin to trust in what we see and what we have and not in God. Remember the man who built bigger barns? Oh, we talk about him often, about bigger barns. And you have to understand that his prosperity in and of itself was not his difficulty. It was not his difficulty. What was his difficulty? His difficulty was that he had had such a harvest that he had to build bigger barns because he couldn't store the harvest that he had. And so he built better barns and he got his harvest in the barn and he said, I got it made. I'm paraphrasing. But his attitude was, I've got it made. Come drought, come flood, come famine, I have enough in store that I can take care of myself and my family and my needs are provided for. Now, it would have appeared that he was blessed by God, but it moved him away from God until he depended on himself. And he forgot something major. Who is the giver of life? God is. And so, in our story, in our parable, Lord says, you know, tonight your life's going to be taken from you. And then as Solomon would say, somebody who didn't plant the crop or harvest it or plan for it was going to enjoy what he had done. He had forgotten to be dependent on God. Now, in their culture and even in ours, the thought is those who prosper financially are those who are blessed by God. And we even ask the question, as we look at the Beatitudes, it helps us kind of answer this, why do apparently bad things happen to good people? And why do bad people prosper? Because Jesus is turning really our basic thought and the thought of the first century on his head and said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Those who depend on God. Those who don't have everything are still blessed by God because what? He is and is going to provide for them. Because what are the poor in spirit looking for? For the Messiah, aren't they? For the Lord's return. For God's blessings. Abraham was a sojourner in a foreign land. And I think of that really often when I think about Abraham, a man who trusted so much in God, who was so full of faith that moved from place to place and trusted God, whatever God told him to do. And there's some exceptions. Abraham had his failures and his weak moments, but he would do what God called him to do. Moving to where God was going to fulfill his promises. And I think so often it is easy for us to become so satisfied or even in love with where we are and the prosperity that we have that we really don't look forward to the blessings of God. It changes our whole relationship with God because we are a blessed people in so many ways, or at least a prosperous people, aren't we? I mean, talk about conveniences and, I mean, we're full. I don't know whether you've had breakfast or not this morning, but we're for the most part full. And for us, if I go to bed not full or full, and in the middle of the night I get hungry, what normally can I do? Go to the refrigerator and get something, or the pantry and get something. Or McDonald's is open 24 hours at the drive-in. I can get something. Ralph said he ain't been that hungry. I can tell by the look on his face. But you can get a soft drink for a dollar, any size. Ralph, it's hard to beat. The reason I say that, and not to make fun of it, we're not only a people who have prospered with convenience, but with just the ability to have. Most of us are not worried about, if I don't find work in the morning, I don't eat tomorrow night. If it hadn't rained this weekend, our garden wouldn't have produced, and I'm not sure how I was going to feed my family. We almost take all of those things for granted. But it can cause us to become too in love with where we are and not look forward to the blessings of God. Let's look at our second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We don't think about mourning being a good thing. Why did the people mourn? Could be over death. It could be over separation. But you remember last week we read from Isaiah. And when we look at the people of Isaiah who were going to be blessed, and for those who mourn, they mourned about the exile and look forward to the return of God's people to the land God had promised, to the restoration of Zion, to the peace for God's people in the land that God had blessed them. Are we looking forward to the return of the Messiah when Jesus returns, where Jesus rules for God, where God's will is completely done on earth as it is in heaven? You remember Daniel, who was carried off into exile with his friends. We remember them. And they were handsome and strong and intelligent. I really relate to them. Just seeing if you were awake. But as they were going for their period of training, it wasn't that funny, Ralph. As they were going for their period of training, do you remember what they said? We don't want to eat from the food of the king's table. We want to continue to eat what God has called us to eat. What Daniel and his friends were saying, not only in the food that they were eating, but in their worship and in their attitudes were, we're here in this exile and we can't help that, but we're not going to assimilate among these pagan people. Even though we're here, we're going to walk in God's ways and mourn, if you will, the situation where we are and look forward to the return back to the place God has promised. And so that's how Daniel and his friends lived. And you remember when Zerubbabel and Hezekiah come back, they come back to rebuild the temple, right? And that the prophets looked forward to and prophesied about the remnant, that faithful remnant that would be returned back to Jerusalem and to the place that God had provided for them. Blessed are those who mourn in exile, and I'm adding that. But I think that's part of what Jesus is saying, who look forward. Who look forward to the return of the Messiah, because they will be comforted. Those who don't hook up, if you will. Just like those who are not poor in spirit, we get happy with where we are. But blessed are those who look forward, to the return of Jesus and to the blessings of God, and who walk in God's ways, even though it is difficult. It is difficult that God is going to restore and make things new, and to look forward to that, and to long for that. That's kind of a difficult thought, isn't it? But for us to think, not that we don't live in the day, we have to live in the world where we are. In fact, Daniel and his friends did, and actually even did quite well, did they not? They did, but they never accepted. They never accepted the religion or the morals or the ethic of the place where they were. But they continued to walk in God's ways. Now, they were carried off. It's hard to think of them being blessed, but they were blessed by God. Let's read one more. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Some of the translations, they will inherit the land. Because remember that Jesus comes and teaches this lesson in the middle of Israel's story, which is really our story. But it's important to remember that, because what's Israel's story? Israel's story is a promise made to Abraham, remember? It's a promise made there. There's a promise, there's a prophecy in the garden after the fall, and there's a promise to Abraham of land and descendants, and through his seed, through Jesus, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And Jesus is coming, teaching his message of the Messiah. He was the Messiah in the midst of that story. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, or the land that God had promised, God's land, God's place that he has prepared for his people. Now, meekness, it's not about being cowardly. It's not about being a Casper milk toast, one who never stands, who has no convictions, who has no backbone, but it is about the one who trusts in God, the one who does not retaliate. Because that's what Jesus' message in the Sermon on the Mount is about, isn't it? Turning the other cheek. The one who is not angry. The one who doesn't lash out. Because as Jesus teaches lessons, even among his apostles, he has a zealot, right? Which was a group of people who were ready to fight the Romans. Who were ready to throw them out so that they could what? Have their land back. Let's take our land back. But Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are meek, who trust in God, who don't fight, who don't lash out, but who are humble and gentle, for they will inherit the earth. They will inherit the land because they are blessed. They are blessed by God, and God will reward them. Jesus' Beatitudes is about those who culturally don't seem to be the ones that are blessed, but the ones who are blessed by God. That as the kingdom comes, that God will bless and restore and prosper. He will care for those. Jesus says it's difficult for the rich man to enter the kingdom. In fact, he says what? It's nigh near impossible. Isn't that what he said? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. But what? With God, all things are possible. Because with folks who are rich, and I'm not talking about just the 1%, I'm afraid we probably all fall into that category. Just because we have comfort and convenience and abundance. It's easy for us to what? Become dependent upon ourselves and not on God. To look for God to bless us. Because it is God who blesses and provides for us. He walks with His people today. In the midst of our difficulties. Jesus says there's difficulties. These people who are mourning because of exile or loss or pain are blessed. Those who don't have an abundance are blessed by God. Those who walk meekly and humbly are blessed by God. And that God not only watches them now, but they will inherit greatness in the kingdom. Remember the last great lesson that Jesus teaches before he goes to the cross is washing feet, right? It is the reiteration of, he who will be greatest among you must be your servant. He who will be greatest among you will be your servant. Jesus' message is very countercultural, even against our nature. But blessed are these individuals because God is watching over them, and great will be their reward. Jesus, who was God's Son and is God's Son, emptied himself and not only became a man, but died a cruel death, a shameful death, a painful death, and suffered for us. And the Father then raised him and exalted him to his right hand, the scripture will tell us. Jesus, even though he suffered for us, was blessed by God. And when we humbly trust in God and walk with him, we too are blessed. And those are who are going to be part of God's kingdom. It's difficult because all of us fight sin and pride. But Jesus came and gave his life that we might be forgiven. And he calls us to walk in his footsteps and to follow his teachings. If you need to respond, do that while we stand and sing.